Hey, I'm Eric Thornburg, and welcome to another episode of Maker Stories, where we explore what makes the makers, what drives them, what they're scared of, how they make sense of the world, and everything in between. This week's episode is with Makhbud Mokhada. Makhbud is famous for being the co-founder of Rap Genius, former co-founder, who got fired for, among other things, making inappropriate edits to the Elliot Rodgers manifesto. But he's done a lot of dumb stuff. He has long alienated nearly every world he's been a part of. And this podcast is kind of like a therapy session. I ask him what he did, why he did, how he feels about it, how he feels about his feelings about it, and so on. I've been looking forward to this for a while. It's kind of strange because a lot of people don't like him. I was a big fan. I found him very entertaining, and I found him in kind of a weird way, somewhat of a truth teller. I thought that he was kind of a potential answer. His like way of performance art, of satire, was a way to be successful in the world, but also mock that same world at the same time and expose the lie, but kind of gain influence and be able to change things within it. That said, Makhbud got kicked out of Genius, and it seemed like he became a martyr for nothing. Humor for no other purpose, that the ultimate troll had trolled even himself. We get into that. So it was kind of evolution. I really admired this guy, and then, kind of felt bad for this guy, and then, I don't know what I feel about him now. But I did have a really good time chatting with him, and I do hope that he's doing okay, because it's not easy being a person. Okay, here's my book. What is most on your mind right now, just in life? Like, what are you grappling with? What are you thinking about? What's going on?
I'm trying to move to SF. That's my big plan. I feel like I've come to LA just to be close to my family and stuff, but everything really cool. I mean, there's some cool tech stuff in LA too. I like the people I work with here, but I want to work on some like big ass tech project.
Yeah. So most people know you as the former co-founder of Genius, or of Rap Genius, formerly Rap Genius, now Genius. And you left, what, a year ago?
It's been pretty much exactly a year, yeah. Got into trouble, had to resign.
And for those who don't know, one of the things, you annotated an Elliot Rodgers manuscript, and that got some flack. But it seemed like from an outsider or someone who's been following you for a while, it seemed that that was like kind of the final nail in the coffin, but that there were things beforehand, or that you had distanced yourself a little bit from the company. What can you say about that period of your life?
The Elliot Rodgers thing itself, I just don't understand why everyone thought it was a big deal. Like, I hypothesized that maybe his sister is hot. I'm fascinated by this guy. It doesn't mean, I guess what happened is I was kind of lumped together with all these people in the Reddit communities and stuff, like MRA, men's rights activists, and people thought that I'm somehow trying to like say that I support Elliot Rodgers. But that's not what I was saying. Like, I was horrified by his crime, obviously. That's why I was so like interested in reading this thing and breaking it down. But yeah, it's true. There'd been other stuff, and ever since I had brain tumor, so I'd like switched to part time at the company anyways. I was working remotely. So it wasn't, on day to day, it didn't change things as much as, what the media portrayal made it seem like I'm the CEO of the company or something. I was a part-time worker.
It's interesting because you were the loudest of the three.
Even that, it kind of changed. That was like, at the beginning, yeah. But for the last 6 months or so, I was doing the least amount of press and things like that. It's just that anything that I would do, Gawker would suddenly go crazy. Like, for some reason, Gawker had decided they have a vendetta against me and I'm a terrible person. And which is really frustrating because to this day I get all of my news from Gawker. Like, I'm sleeping with the enemy, even though all they're doing is just ripping other people off. But I don't know. I like the tone. I like how everything they say is tongue in cheek.
Because tongue in cheek, I mean, that's exactly what you are. Like, you're the ultimate Troll as artist.
I would be so down to work for Gawker. Like, if they hired me, that would be amazing. And if they hired me to just talk shit about Genius, it's cool because, you know, that's literally where I get my news from. And to this day, every once in a while, like, I'll just be checking Gawker, and it's like, oh, hey, Tom and Alon are there, you know. So it's cool to like have a relationship with my news media.
And going back to that time, were you shocked that they decided to, for you to resign or leave? Like, what were you thinking at that time?
No, it made sense. It wasn't the craziest thing. I was working part time at that point. I was a part time employee, so someone resigning from a part time job. But then, like I'm saying, it was on CNN and Fox News and shit. They were making it look like I was the CEO of the company.
So was it bound to happen anyway?
No. I really liked the part-time situation. We basically, it had happened 3 months before the whole drama went down. Was we decided I was just not going to manage anybody. I was going to be working remotely from LA. I would get my own place in LA. No more interns, no more anything like that. And I would just do whatever I wanted on the site. So I was just having fun on the site. Like, some of the last stuff that I was annotating was honestly my best work ever. Like, I started annotating Charles Dickens, and, you know, Tess of the D'Urbervilles is my favorite book. So, like, I did a really, really thorough job annotating my favorite chapter from Tess of the D'Urbervilles.
Are you hard to work with?
I don't think that I've proven to be a very good manager. I think what I'm not good at is being a manager, and that's because I don't want to be a manager. But I think I'm very good at doing work. I was the first person working on the site. What I like doing is working on stuff.
And so what are you working at? What are your core competencies? What are you best at?
You know, the thing I did best, I think, for Genius was I was just user in chief. I was literally the best user, you know, like, maybe if you don't have a sense of humor, like, you thought some of my work on the site was annoying or whatever, but at least it got people's attention. And, you know, a lot of people really liked it.
So your skill was building the community, like building that early community.
No, I wouldn't even say that. Like, you know, I was sort of antagonistic to a community. I just wanted to explain everything myself, which I think helped. I think helped build the community. You know, it's the same as like...
They need an enemy?
Yeah, well, not just that, but people want to be challenged. If everyone's just running and kissing your ass and like, please join us. You don't want to... What's like the famous quote? I would never want to be a club that will have me...
in Groucho Marx.
Yeah, we got to be like the fucking Soho House, dog. That's how I was running Genius. I was making it like the Soho House. If it was up to me, I'd be the only person annotating anything. Because... frankly, like, you know, to this day, I have the second highest IQ on the site. Meanwhile, I've been banned from the site for a year and still got the second highest IQ. And the guy who's got the highest IQ is basically retired now. He's gone. So no one's even touching me. I am the rap genius. Like, that's what I'm always telling people. Like, I'm not just a rap genius. I am the rap genius.
You've been banned from the site for a year. You wrote a book. You've identified this sort of trolling as art form, you know, and you've identified yourself as an artist. What does that mean to you?
I still don't 100% understand what the word trolling means. Because I guess trolling means that you're not being sincere, right?
I'm not sure. I thought trolling means like fucking with people.
Yeah, all right. So fucking with people, I'm down. And then also, I guess, doing things for laughs. And it's true that I believe in the healing art of laughter. You know, I'm always trying to get people to laugh. But trolling, being insincere, it's funny because a lot of times people will be like, oh, Mathwood, you're just saying that to be funny. Like, you don't really mean it. And I'm like, no, I'm actually saying stuff that I mean. But I don't know. I guess I do. I like to be argumentative too. You know, that was the reason I went to law school.
Have you always been like this ever since you were a kid? Like, you've always been Mahbud?
I've always been getting into trouble, yes. Believe it or not, this was not the Elliot Rodger gate was not the first time I've gotten into trouble. I've gotten into trouble many, 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 many times. Actually, a lot of times that were way bigger and scarier than this.
Have you ever tried to change your behavior?
Why would I do that? It's going fine so far. Some negative repercussions.
But so in the year since Genius, I mean, you went through a lot of shit. It must have been depressing. You know, like what's that been like?
I'd say it's been liberating. It's been nice to get out from. I wasn't even happy. I guess I'm saying I liked the 3 months. You know, the new setup we were doing. Then again, the new setup we were doing wasn't very challenging to me. I was basically locked into only having a part-time job, which isn't great. You know, like that means like what? Until I'm an old man, I'm just gonna sit there and annotate stuff for fun on my website. So clearly, if management wasn't suited for me, that means I'm kind of excited about the chance to like go and figure out, you know, what I can do that I don't have to be somebody's manager.
When you call yourself an artist, what does that mean to you?
That's kind of like troll. What is artist? I say artist mainly as a joke. I guess the reason I say it so much is because it doesn't really mean anything to me. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know what's a good definition for it. I guess you know it when you see it.
It's interesting, the healing power of laughter, but does it heal you? it seems like you're a martyr without a cause.
I never laugh, dog. Like I can count on one hand the number of times I've ever laughed in my life. But I like when others laugh. You know, the laughter of children inspires.
If you weren't yourself and you were to describe your sense of humor and your kind of, I don't want to say antics, but you're just like the way you are, how would you describe it to someone else?
Well, Tom and Alan used to say it's Andy Kaufman-esque, which I sort of, it kind of pissed me off because I'm like, fuck you. Are you trying to say I look like that guy? You know, he's a fucking weirdo. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't like to be labeled, you know?
It seems like you deflect real questions with humor.
No. I'll tell you anything you want. We were talking about the Ask FM. I have nothing to hide, dude.
Have you ever seen it's interesting because sometimes you alternate between really serious questions, really serious answers, and then like really ridiculous.
I don't even know which or which.
Have you seen a therapist?
Oh my God. Now you're starting to sound like everyone in my family. Sound like every single person in my family. Someday I'll go. I promise. I know I need it. Yeah. Tom and Alon, you know, New York Times, they went. My mom has been begging me to go since I was 18 years old.
And why haven't you gone?
Cause I don't know. I'm perfectly happy with the way things are. Like if I'm weird and fucked up, then maybe I just want to stay this way.
What would need to be happen for you to not be happy with the way things are? I'm sure there've been some low moments.
No, not really. Not really. You know, I've led a really fortunate life. I guess, you know, if I'm going to pick a low moment, maybe like brain surgery, but even that was pretty cool, to be perfectly honest. You know, it was a fun experience. You know, I guess it would suck a lot more if I didn't have good doctors and stuff. But
and is the brain okay right now?
Oh, define okay. Are any of our brains okay? You know, I have to go for a lot of checkups and stuff, but I'm pretty happy. I feel pretty well. You know, for a while I was thinking like, how long is it going to be before I can like, you know, try to get a job? And now, like I'm saying, I kind of feel like, you know, maybe I could actually get a job again. Thinking about moving to SF. You know.
Are you blackballed from tech?
I don't think so. I don't think I'd really be too successful. You know, if I want to work at Facebook or something, but I think that I don't think I would even be that effective somewhere like Facebook. I think where I'm really effective is something like my situation at Genius, where a company is really, really young and needs to get on the map, it needs to get attention. That's kind of the stuff I've been working on in LA. And it's, you know, it's been going pretty well.
You've picked some fights with a lot of people, but Schuster comes to mind.
I think it's pronounced Schuster.
Is it?
Yeah, Schuster.
Right, Mark Schuster.
Who I've never met, by the way. I've never met him.
Yeah, on Facebook. I said, why him in particular?
Well, he started it. It's not like I was like, oh, Mark Schuster. He was the one. He was the most vocal idiot regarding my Whole Foods article, and just like not getting the humor. And he's kind of like shown himself to be a humorless buffoon in a lot of other instances too. And you know, that's the reason this guy never like truly became a baller. Like, not to say that, you know, he's not a nobody, especially now, like in LA, he's building himself a name. But a lot of people don't know he's actually been an entrepreneur longer than Ben Horowitz. And not only that, but he basically invented Ben Horowitz's marketing strategy of like, I was a founder and now I'm a VC. And meanwhile, like, look at Ben Horowitz and look at him, you know, like literally the only difference is Ben Horowitz got a late start, but he has charisma. So it's like, it's a classic Friendster versus Facebook situation.
Why this sense of humor thing is really interesting. And your Whole Foods article, you know, was interesting because.
Over tech people's heads. It's shame on tech people that no one, you know, so few people like. We can't just have a bunch of Asperger's people, you know, building the most important tools of humankind. You know, like, that was such a, you know, it's not like for myself, it wasn't that big of a deal. You know, it was more that it made me sad for tech. It made me sad for humanity that no one was able to take a joke.
It's interesting. Like that could have been written by like Hunter S. Thompson or something. And if someone today, you know, like a comedian wrote that, or an artist, you know, a rapper or something, it would have been seen as comedy. But when a business person writes something, there seems to be this like Chinese wall between business and art.
Especially with tech, but tech is the most exaggerated form of capitalism. And it's funny because it's supposed to be anti-capitalism, you know, like the dress code and the whole screed of disruption. It's supposed to be anti-capitalism. It's become the most capitalist industry out there. It makes iBanker look tame in comparison. It has the most racism because Goldman Sachs is scared to be too racist, but a VC can get away with whatever. It has the most sexism. It has the most, if you complain about any of this shit, you're going to get fucked. You know, Ellen Pao is the coolest person in the news right now. She's fucking amazing because like no one understands the amount of courage it took for her to do what she did, and it's really disappointing that she lost that case. I hope eventually she's just able to really do some damage.
So why are you more? Did you have anti-capitalist strengths when you were starting Genius? Did you feel conflicted at the growth of Genius and the growth of your?
Well, I kind of naively believed at first, like during Y Combinator, I naively believed we're going to defeat the rules of capitalism. Like I literally would think this to myself.
And so, what did that mean?
Well, for me, I wasn't even thinking about business and management aspects. I was just more thinking like from a PR perspective, you know, we're always going to be, you know, I really liked that our error messages were all slang. And, you know, now they've changed all that. It sucks. But it had to happen. It had to, you know, capitalism is an irresistible force. It's not even like, I don't want to abolish capitalism. I'm just trying to be like a thorn in capitalism's side.
Yeah, it seems like you're trying to be a thorn in a lot of people's side. Is that unfair?
No. I'm the people who I try to help are the people who are actually building stuff and are doing innovative stuff. And then anyone who I just see as being force of stagnation, I try to disrupt.
Give me some examples of forces of stagnation.
Well, here's a good one. To be a tech founder, you got to be white. Because let's face it, all of the people you see who get the big money are white. Like, look at Klinkle. Klinkle, you should look at it from a race perspective. You know, you have this kid who's like the Aryan poster child. I wonder why they were all in a rush to give him money when he doesn't even know shit. I'm meeting all these kids in LA, all these Persians, you know, I'm sure in the Bay Area too. And it's just harder, you know. I've had to deal with a lot of it too, and like I was lucky. At least I had two white guys on my squad.
You know, it's interesting. When Rap Genius was coming up, and I was with Rapt, you know, I really obviously looked up to you guys a lot, and you know, was fascinated by the fact that like in hip hop and in tech, I thought you played important roles in that. Like both those communities have a lot of conformity to it, and you just didn't give a fuck. You were just yourself. Like you were putting these freestyle videos that were so bad, that were good in their own way, and you just like refused to play the rules and even apologize for them or even acknowledge that they exist. And then people would critique you or harass you, and you just didn't respond, kind of Dave Brooks style. And I feel that it was an important voice, but I feel that when you left, that voice got like decredited, or that's not the right word, but like delegitimized, or like it just stopped taking you seriously as someone with something to say because of some of the things that they didn't get, some of the jokes, or like people were really quick to take you down.
Well, I think there's also like what's actually going on in tech press versus what actually is going on the site. Like, you know, a lot of people on the site are not even that aware of who I am. Like, you know, where I was like really a visible force is more like in, you know, TechCrunch and Gawker and things like that. And then meanwhile, the people who are reading TechCrunch and Gawker are probably not even dedicated Genius users.
Right.
You know, maybe they just like us because they care about how much money we raised, or you know, like maybe they'll be casual browsers, but they're not really the same demo as the people who become dedicated users of the site.
And when you were getting this negative press, did you just brush it off? You're just, you know, who cares?
I have a pretty thick skin for things like that. I don't take it too seriously.
If you were to see a therapist, what would they tell you?
I don't know. How about let's do a product hunt sponsored Mabu goes to therapy, and we can film all of it. We'll make a documentary.
We'll get Indiegogo involved, and we'll crowdsource. We'll raise some funds.
You know, everyone else in tech needs therapy. By the way, like, how come no one's knocking down Zuckerberg's door?
Yeah, no, I want to see a therapist. I think everyone should go to therapy. It's like working out for the mind.
Yeah, seriously.
It's not a judgment. I think I should go.
All these tech people. Oh my God.
So talk about that. Like, what do you mean when you say that? What's wrong with them?
I don't know. They're weird. They took my Whole Foods thing. You know, there's a lot of people who like were, you could tell they were bullied as kids, and like now they wanna compensate for difficult childhood.
What do you think about Genius's evolution? Like, how has it been in the last year? What do you think of the new product?
It's cool. It's cool that, well, the
do you think it has, you know, it's going to fulfill its, you know, like promise?
At first it was total art project, and you know, for all the people talking shit, we did a good job of selling it. It was an art project that everyone was like, "Hey, I want to become a part of this." And at that point, I already thought of it as just a blog platform. One of the main things that in the later years I was using Genius for was just for my own stuff. You know, putting up my own writing. That was the inspiration for my book. My book is all of my own writing that was on the site, annotated. So the new Genius beta hopefully gets people to see more that this is supposed to be kind of like the ultimate blogging platform. And then, you know, Medium kind of ripped off the having annotations. Mm-hmm. But Medium doesn't have this whole structure behind it. You know, like the IQ and different levels, like, you know, in a controlled, systematic way, allowing other people to come in and interact with your blog platform. So it really bothers me that Medium just did like this cheap, superficial ripoff, and like someone who doesn't know would think like, oh, okay, why would I use Genius as my blogging platform when I could use Medium and it's pretty much the same shit? And it's totally not the same shit. You know, like once you start using Genius, it all becomes part of the superstructure. Like, you're doing something that's not only personal, but is also public. So if you're blogging and you're not annotating it with Genius Beta, you're just being crazy. Like, you know, it's that's the way to take it to the next level. And especially now, you don't have to post, you don't have to write, put your stuff on the site in order to annotate it. The annotations come to you.
Yeah.
So eventually, like, aside from, you know, lyrics and text and, like, you know, the universal song page, the universal page for text, that kind of stuff, I think that Genius is going to become the biggest blog platform. Like, you know, putting annotations on your own work is more valuable than anything that's intrinsic to just, you know, Tumblr or Medium or WordPress or any of those. And, like, it's not like Medium can just rip it off that, okay, now we're letting you add annotations. It's not the same, because we have an entire superstructure for people to be able to come in and interact with your stuff, you know, you spawn discussions with people who are reading your work. So that's a really big picture.
What do you want to work on next? Like, what types of things are you excited about?
I like anything that is kind of the same wiki-oriented, you know, let's have a point system that makes sense. Let's figure out ways for people to have this, you know, the company that I consult in LA is basically Fashion Genius. Or it's like Fashion Genius and Screen Genius had a baby. It's called Spylight. That's SPYLIGHT, like spyglass plus spotlight. So Spylight, it's an app, and it tells you what people are wearing on TV.
So if you had the most top talented developers came to you and said, "We'll work on any idea with you. You tell us what idea would you want to work on?"
I'm impartial to idea. I'm more like you know, like I'm saying, I more care about what things are put into place, what the plan is to get that idea accomplished. Like I'm saying with Spylight, you know, at this point, they're getting a lot of info for what the people are wearing on the TV shows from studios. But then, you know, there's only so many studios that they can work with. Ultimately, it's got to be that fans can put up their own fashion knowledge of their favorite TV shows, which they already have. You know, there's already a huge crowdsource component to the site and, you know, rewarding the best users, but it's just going to keep on growing. You know, like I'm so excited to see the evolution of, you know, one thing I don't like is when a website will just give you a point total and you don't even give a shit about your point total. Like, pretty much everyone does that now. You know, Snapchat has a point total. No one cares. Meerkat does that. You know, what's really important is for these sort of game elements to actually be effective, to, you know.
What do you think of Meerkat, by the way? Meerkat or Periscope?
I got sick of it. I was obsessed with it. I never used Periscope, but Periscope I don't respect because, like, I'm sorry, but, you know, Meerkat was first. So, also, you know, it's really painful for me because it's Iran versus Israel, which is like my two countries of origin. So it's like my own family is fighting against each other because, like, the Meerkat guys are Israeli and the Periscope guys are Persian. But I was using Meerkat for about a week to Meerkat myself playing piano, and then I got sick of it. Like, at least I had something that I was using it for. Like, I was like, all right, I'll let people listen to me practice piano. But it just gets too repetitive, and then people would tune in and be like, hey, you're just doing the same shit as last time. I'm like, well, you know, fuck you. What do you want? You want me to, like, bring out the circus? Like, I'm, you know, just one man. So, oh, and also one month, like, I thought I was on Wi-Fi and I wasn't. And Meerkat made my data go insane.
Yeah, me too, man.
Yeah, so until unlimited data is the norm, I think these things might be a little bit premature. I think first you got to have unlimited data.
What did you think about, or have you read The Circle or seen Black Mirror or any kind of dystopian stuff? that has live streaming of everything as kind of the centerpiece of.
No.
But yeah, it's interesting. What happens when everything is meerkatted or periscoped?
Yeah, I definitely have no fear. I guess one thing that I found a little bit upsetting and repugnant was the primordial fear everyone had of Meerkat. Everyone was just like, "Ah, get that away from me, get that away." And meanwhile, it's like 10 people who are watching. You know, like half of them live in like, you know, Eastern Europe. But anyone, I'd be like, "Yo, you're on Meerkat." They'd be like, "Ah, get away from me, get away." And like, I just don't understand why people are like that. Like, you know, if people wanted to watch me all day, I would seriously have no problem with that.
Well, a lot of people prefer privacy, but you've been public, you know, living in public for quite a while. And my question was, how do you think about, like, because you're so public, is there, you know, conflict between your public and your private life?
No, I don't understand what the obsession is with, like, you have to understand, one of my siblings still isn't on Facebook because she's, like, afraid of her privacy or whatever. And I just don't understand, what are people doing that they're so afraid of people finding out?
That's like what Eric Schmidt said. And then he had all these like women he was seeing.
Well, then don't do shit like that. Why the fuck was he doing that shit?
Because everyone's got shit that they're doing.
I really don't.
Everyone's got shit.
There's nothing that I wouldn't tell you. If there's something that I'd be upset for people to know, then I won't do it.
But I think a lot of people, everyone's got something to hide. Everyone's got weird shit.
And I know you're thinking like, oh, you annotated Elliot Rodger. Like I would have told everyone I annotated, like, hey, guess what? Yeah, I heard this kid shot up a bunch of people in Santa Barbara. It really broke my heart. It was like the saddest thing I'd ever heard. So I became engrossed in his memoir, and I was annotating it to try to break it down, you know, to try to give myself some closure. And I opined that perhaps his sister is really hot, which A, it turns out she is really hot, and B, It was a good guess. Like I just don't understand what's so bad about that.
Do you see how people could see that that's insensitive?
No, I really don't see it. I could see how they would group me together with other people who are just total morons. But I'd say that's more because they're not doing a good job of reading. They're not reading closely. They're just glossing over my shit and seeing what they want to see.
Do you think you're good at seeing? Or at kind of seeing from other people's perspectives?
I mean, I can see where people are coming from, but I mean, that doesn't mean I necessarily agree with them.
Right. Have there been times at Genius where you did something that you would do differently or that you wouldn't do again?
No. Also, it's funny because the stuff that would get me into trouble was the stuff that I didn't even think. Like sometimes I'd do things that I was like, oh, this is risky. Like I shouldn't be doing this. That would never cause a stink. Like these Elliot Rodger annotations, I wasn't like, oh my God, I hope everyone's okay with this. I didn't even care. Like I'd put literally 5 minutes of work into it. That was the one thing that I was upset about, is that the whole point of Genius is that it's a work in progress. I was going to come back. My plan was, I'd woken up that morning. I stayed up the whole night before and read the whole manifesto. And I was a total wreck. You know, I felt really bad. I woke up the next morning. I'm like, all right, I need to go to the beach. I got to clear my head. So the first thing I did was just I wrote down some sketches. I just like written a few one sentence things just to highlight the parts that I want to come back and do a thorough job of annotating later. And then literally when I got back from the beach is when I saw the missed emails from Gawker and stuff. And I was like, oh, shit. So that was annoying that I kind of, you know, people were spying on me. It wasn't even something I was ready to present, but I still don't understand like why it was such a big deal. It's like, I really didn't do anything wrong. It's just that Gawker had already decided that they hate me and they just chose to paint it in a way to make me look like I'm a bad person when I had no, you know, I wasn't trying to do anything bad.
And you didn't feel betrayed?
By Gawker?
Or by your team?
No. Well, Gawker had been fucking with me from day one. Like, for some reason, they decided that I am the paradigm of the white guy who is trying to appropriate what black culture. Which is funny because my name is Mahmoud Muhaddam.
Like, you're like Macklemore, man. You're misunderstood.
I'm not like Macklemore in that I'm not white. My whole life I've had to deal with racism and people treating me badly because I'm not white. And then at the same time, I have Gawker saying I'm white. So like I get shit from both sides. That's what it's like being Persian.
But did you feel betrayed by your team? Or they did what they had to do?
No, I mean, it was at that point, I was like I'm saying, it was a part-time job. This big thing had happened right before we're going to announce our big fundraising and stuff. It was just like, it wasn't even really a discussion. That's why it happened so fast. Just Tom and I spoke on the phone, and it was like, all right, I guess this is what's got to happen.
And has that seriously affected your friendship since?
No. What affected our friendship is that he didn't let me come back to using the site. They decided to like totally block me from ever using the site, which I thought was pretty fucked up.
As kind of a stance, or?
I don't know. I don't know what his logic is. I kind of smell that it was Tom. It was Tom's call. Like, you know, Elon thinks that he's being a little bit crazy about it too.
It's crazy. I mean, this thing you worked on for years, number two on, and now you can't use it.
Well, the crazy thing is Moses was never allowed inside of Jerusalem.
So you feel like you're like Moses?
I mean, it's just crazy, right? It's crazy. That's why this whole thing, I swear, every step along the way has felt like a movie. I just feel like...
So when's the movie coming out? When's, you know, the Rap Genius book or movie? When's the story coming out?
Yeah. So the book that I put out is like I'm saying, it's all of my writings that were annotated on the site, and now they're blocked because I'm banned from the site, and they're not annotated in the book, so they're going to just remain a mystery for all of mankind to ponder. But I also wrote a book that I'm shopping around right now called Genius Inc. And the dude who's my agent was the agent for Divergent. So he's trying to get a movie deal. So someday, Genius Inc. the movie.
And who's gonna act as you?
Me? I don't know. I would want like Shah Rukh Khan or something, like some major Bollywood. Like I would want the most pimp Bollywood actor. I probably don't even know his name.
You said in an interview once that, you know, when you have a joke, you have to say it. You know, even if it's offensive, even if it's in poor taste, that the joke overrides everything. I believed that shit at the time.
I don't know if I don't stand by that. I probably don't stand by that.
Has something changed from that, or were you kind of just joking about that?
When did I even say that?
In a Fast Company interview like a year and a half ago. They were asking about the Zuck my dick thing.
Ah, Zuck my dick. Well, Zuck my dick is funny. The whole Zuck thing. And I guess it's funny. Yeah, as time has gone by, I kind of feel bad about that too, though. Just because, like, again, people lose sight of the fact that I actually think this guy's an amazing person. That's the whole reason I'm fucking around with him. I thought Zuck was worthy of my beef. So that's really the greatest compliment that you can pay someone.
He didn't appreciate it?
I guess not. I guess not. It sucks. Sorry, bro. I use Facebook more than anybody. And like there's features on Facebook that I think I'm the only person who knows. Like, I've done more relationship status requests than anyone since Facebook introduced the feature.
Has that worked for you? Has that like...
It's worked in making people think I'm sketchy.
You seem to get off on that.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Facebook built it. I have to use it. And that's how I felt about Genius, you know? Genius, what did I even get into trouble for? I got into trouble because I was using the site in like a really innovative, cool way. Maybe you don't like what I wrote. If you don't like what I wrote, then you annotate Elliot Rogers' thing.
Do you identify as kind of like the shaman? Is that the correct term? Like the one person who's like, you know, cast away, but like has some truth that's going to be uncovered in the future?
I'm sort of the Cassandra of Genius a little bit. Except I guess she was really grouchy and felt like things were going bad, whereas I generally have a positive outlook. Like, you know, the whole there's very little that's going on you know, in the internet that I don't like. You know, I'm obviously a huge fan of Genius, and you know, like Hype Machine is my life. Spylight is really fucking cool. Facebook, Twitter, all of these. It's more the whole capitalism superstructure that is right now as we speak being formulated around it. Like, this is what I imagine, all right? Like, evil Warren Buffett, you know, like the Gargamel of capitalism. He's sitting in his castle in Omaha, and he's like, ah, like the internet, it's growing. Like, I need to take over the little internet right now. You know, and then that's what's happening. Like, these VCs, the way they're getting set up is they're just going to do Warren Buffett's bidding. They're going to turn tech into just a part of the stagnant bullshit economy.
So be more specific. What are you most afraid of?
VCs are getting so powerful.
And what will that lead to? Like, what's the end goal, end state that you're afraid, that you don't want to happen?
Everyone who works in tech is going to be a white guy. It's happening, you know.
Are there any other, you know, perils of capitalism that you are, you know, fearing against?
Yeah, well, law and iBanking are the classics.
Well, I mean, by perils, I mean, besides, you know, racism, sexism, gender, like, are you a Marxist? You know, do you have...
Yeah, well, class in the sense of, you know, I don't necessarily think everyone has to have the same amount of money, but I do think that, like, you know, private schools are a little bit obnoxious. Things that perpetuate class into not just being the car you drive, but your entire way of life and the people who come to your parties and things like that. I think that's pretty bad.
Yeah, what was appealing as you guys were blowing up and you were getting a lot of attention was that you kind of, like I said, you didn't give a fuck. You had this kind of performance art element that, you know, the things you didn't like in the world, you would subvert it with humor, and then that would get more attention. It was kind of this thing that kept building upon itself, and a lot of people didn't get it, but there were some people who did, and they kind of, you know, supported it. And at one point I was upset at the way things were, and I thought your kind of performance art was a way to counteract that. But then when I saw you fall, I was like, that can't win.
Yeah, maybe people are gonna get even more just stodgy after what happened. But I think an important thing to keep in mind is, as far as I'm concerned, my performance art still got the job done. Like, it's not, I don't regret any of it. I think that me making a lot of noise and getting attention was able to get us initial traction. And I think that's actually the hardest thing to get.
But what I really want to know is, how did it affect your, like, personal health? And is that like a healthy way to live? Is that a way you'd recommend to others?
Oh yeah. I mean, Gawker articles and stuff like that, you know, in and of themselves don't bother me at all. Like, I guess maybe the repercussions they could have for the company would bother me, but what bothered me was more being a manager. That's the part of what was going on for me that I really made me feel uncomfortable.
Did you ever feel like you were being a personality, or, you know, over a person, or kind of a caricature of yourself?
Maybe on some days.
But it's interesting. You never had. Did you ever fear of, like, this is getting too big, or were you ever uncomfortable with it?
With Genius growing?
With your, you know, your attention growing, like, more and more people listening, like, and, you know, because,
yeah, well, once we decided, like, all right, this is a problem, you know, this the amount that they're just trying to pick on me is not worth the exposure it gets for the site. I tried to keep a low profile. That's why I'd stopped doing any kind of solo interviews. I was just trying to not get as much attention.
Well, I take it, you know, when I used Meerkat, for example, a bunch of people started watching, and then I noticed that I became more performative. Like, I really just wanted to entertain other people, and I didn't like that side of myself. Maybe that's a personal thing I should work on when I go to therapy. But like, I feel like when you guys are blowing up, you know, and even on your Facebook, that must have happened a lot, where you realize you're talking to a lot more people. And did you develop a kind of performative side that you weren't that into? Or?
Yeah, I like it. No, I'm totally into it. I was on Meerkat for a week. The only reason I kind of got sick of it was because I wasn't being entertaining enough. I was just a one-trick pony.
Have you ever read Dave Foster Wallace?
No. Someday I should, though. I know everybody really likes him.
This concept of entertainment is really interesting. He says something like, and I don't want to botch his words, but that with real pleasure involves like some pain or like something that's very difficult to, you know, that's why I made Infinite Jest so long, so that when you got through it, you were proud of yourself. And he kind of predicted a world in which entertainment is so effortless and like the not only effortless, but also the rise of snark, and how he says that's kind of soul defeating. You know, Gawker's obviously super snarky. You dig it. You can be very snarky. What do you think about that? Like, you know, snark as a way of deflecting kind of sincerity or something.
Well, so let's see. So you're saying David Foster Wallace was against snark and he killed himself. So there you go. That's your answer. If you are anti-snark, you are going to commit suicide.
And maybe I should have said someone else.
I guess it's bad to only focus on negative things. That's snark also implies that, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's bad.
What is your internal compass? Your moral compass, your sense of happiness. What are you driven by?
Guess trying to do cool stuff. You know, I'm very proud of genius. Every at this point, I don't get any like internal memos or anything. So whenever the company's in the press, it's news to me too. In those days, like the whole day, I walk around with a spring in my step. You know, like hiring Sasha and you know Genius Beta. Cool stuff people are doing on it.
Let's talk about Sasha and this rise of kind of awesome writers going to tech companies. Some people are excited about it, some people aren't. You know, explain how something like that happens and what it means for culture in general.
It's really cool. It's really cool. I can't believe it. When I read it, I couldn't even believe it. And then he's the one who got Rick Rubin to do his annotations, which I think are some of the best annotations on the site. And the crazy thing is, I saw Rick Rubin at my herbalist. I'm not even making this up. But I was so struck that I was going to be like, yo, hey, genius, you were on Genius. But I was just like so struck, and then he was headed out. So I didn't get to talk to him.
What is one of the craziest celebrity interactions or artist interactions you've had?
I'd say Gucci Mane by far. Not even close. Meeting Gucci Mane was insane. Like the dude who set that up, Eyal set that up for me. Thank you so much, dude. You're listening.
How did you respond?
We just got to hang out together. Like, you know, we had like our one-on-one time, you know, Waka Flocka was in the background making a ruckus. And like Waka gave his chain to my friend. He was like kind of entertaining my friend so that I could just like have one-on-one time with Gucci Mane. And I just got to talk to him about all of his lyrics. And you know, what's funny is, so I went and the stuff that Gucci Mane had told me about his lyrics, I went and put on the site, and then the employees got mad at me because they said you're not allowed to go and transcribe for rappers anymore. Like, unless Gucci Mane comes and types it in himself, it doesn't count. So there's things that I know from Gucci Mane himself about his lyrics that are not on the site.
That must be frustrating.
Well, no, it just shows you I'm even smarter than the internet. I know more about Gucci Mane's lyrics than the internet.
Have you ever been in love?
Define love. Love is kind of like troll. There have been, you know, there have been girls who I've been with for longer than others, and the real make or break is what has this girl contributed to Genius. You know, like literally every girl who, you know, I've been long-term serious has played an intrinsic role in the genesis of this website. Yeah, my girlfriend of the time, you know, now ex, was the first person to annotate poetry on the site. She did Paradise Lost, book 9 of Paradise Lost. Like, we had done some bullshit ourselves, like, you know, Emily Dickinson, things like that. But the first like serious, you know, someone not just doing it as like a proof of concept, but it like actually getting into annotating poetry was her doing book 9 of Paradise Lost.
And you date kind of deeply intellectual chicks?
I'm a sapiosexual. Yeah, that's a new word I learned. Do you know what that means?
No, tell me about it.
You see it a lot on dating websites. It means someone who is attracted to knowledge.
Do you think that you want to get like married in the next 5 years? How do you think about your 30s?
Now you're making me feel old too. I'm down for whatever, dude. I'm down for whatever. Whatever happens. I'm just so thankful. I'm so grateful to be alive. Like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not even supposed to be alive right now. So it's just crazy that I'm actually alive. And then, you know, I get to live a pretty happy, chill life. Got this great family, all these little kids, you know, go to Shabbat every week. So whatever happens with that kind of stuff.
You go to Shabbat now? Or you've always been going to Shabbat?
Yeah, well, not I don't go to temple or anything.
Just dinner?
Yeah, Shabbat is just what I call it. It's like our weekly family dinner.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that concept too.
Persians, we're big on that. But I don't think I'd ever go to synagogue unless they let me be the rabbi or something. That would be awesome.
You seem like always having a good time. And you can tell you're always having a good time. And yet some people would probably, you know, hear this or see you and say that you're either hide or deflect some stuff, or that something's just not all there. And to them, do you say they just don't really get you, or they're just overthinking it?
Dig deeper. I tell those people, come hang out with me. Come hang out, analyze me, pick my brain, try to find my flaws, reveal my weaknesses.
What have you learned about yourself in this last year?
It's not no like big philosophical stuff really. The past year, it seems like it's been so tumultuous, right? Like, you know, I had to leave my own company and I'm banned from the website, but really I guess all of this still pales in comparison to having brain surgery. So this was really all just like a round of mini golf compared to 2 years ago. That's why it hasn't felt too serious. The brain surgery taught me a lot. The brain surgery was kind of like, you know, my demeanor towards things has changed. For one thing, it taught me I'm trying too hard. You know, I'm like I'm saying, eventually that's what, you know, the brain surgery is what resulted in me feeling like I'm burned out and taking a part-time role at the company.
And because you had a joking manner, so a lot of people didn't take that seriously.
Yeah, that was really annoying. That was mainly Biddle, who is the biggest fucker in all of Gawker, in that entire pool of fuckery. Although I got to say, he's the most talented writer too. Like, I hate that fucker, and I'm so glad he got into trouble. You know he got into trouble, right?
No, I didn't know.
That's why he doesn't write. He writes like one article a week now. They basically fired him because he said bullying should be allowed during the Gamergate thing. You should Google this. He got into huge trouble, and it was crazy because the same way that he would fuck me, he got fucked. You know, he fell on his own sword. Let that be a lesson to you. You know, don't fuck with me, because if you fuck with me, karma's a bitch. Look what happened to Biddle. Biddle got totally fucked, but he's a brilliant writer. I'll give him that. I hate him. So
who are the people that are closest to you in your life?
My family. We have a bunch of little kids. I'm the youngest of my siblings, so all my siblings are married and have kids. I guess that's why I'm not like, oh, I gotta have kids, because it's kind of like I do have kids. I get to be the cool uncle.
I was just reading Dave Brooks' Road to Character. Do you hate Dave Brooks?
I hate the New York Times, yeah.
Well, you call the New York Times Carlos Slim's hoe, but I've never really understood that.
Carlos Slim bailed them out. He gave them, they were going to go bankrupt, and he gave them money. You can't have like this guy who's basically the dictator of a third world country do a financial bailout for your newspaper. And then this is like supposed to be the biggest newspaper in America. It's absolutely ridiculous. Shut it down. You know? Meanwhile, we've got the Wall Street Journal, which is legit. You know, like Rupert Murdoch, a lot of people talk shit. He saved that paper.
Where do your political views lie?
Tough to say. I think I'm probably going to vote for Rubio just because he said that he really likes Nicki Minaj. And I think he's handsome. But I fuck with Hillary Clinton too. If she won, it would be cool, because it would be really cool to have a female president. I'm not the biggest fan of her. I think that Jeb and Rubio And to be honest, even Cruz would probably be better than her overall. But I think it would be really, really cool to have a female president. Especially, like, you know, the first black president, first female president, like, that would be. So I'm really happy whoever wins. I'm happy about the pool of people who are emerging.
When Dave Brooks, he just wrote this book, Road to Character, which is about his own quest to, like, find out what integrity and character and, like, an enlightened spirit means for him. What do those terms, like, mean to you? With, like, integrity or searching, like, a higher purpose in your own life? Like, do you think about it in those terms, or?
Well, so it's funny. Like, 2 days ago, someone for the first time on Ask FM asked me, what's the meaning of life? Which you'd think would be the question for Ask FM. You know, like, what's the biggest question you can have? And I think the meaning of life is to be a baller. And being a baller means that, you know, everyone thinks you're a good person, you're doing good stuff, and people think you're cool. Your family. Yeah.
But is that what baller means? I mean, I think people equate baller with, like, people who are materially successful.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean a 360 baller. You know, like, there's people out there who, for me, I admire them a lot.
Who?
Well, a lot of them aren't famous. I don't know. Famous one is Dan Loeb. Dan Loeb, you know, he's a hedge fund guy, but then he does a lot of good stuff too. You know, he's a bright, glimmering light in the dark swamp of capitalism. And then he does yoga every morning, and, you know, he's married and has kids and he's happy. So I just think that guy is, like, a fucking baller.
If I really knew you, what would I know about you? Or what's something important for me to know about you?
What is important? Well, the majority of my time every day is spent doing things that are related to music. I guess, like, my real passion, and there's no way to communicate this on the internet. Like, the only thing you can really do is, like, post a song on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone likes those.
They don't seem to do well in the algorithm.
Yeah, there's just no way to really share your passion for music without being annoying. But that's my biggest passion of all.
Music. You play the piano. You also, you know, you write music with words.
Yeah, well, that's because I can't write music with music. If I was good enough to actually be a musician, I would put all these words, I'd throw these words aside, but what can I do? You know, the gift God has given me is with language, but music is my biggest passion.
You believe in a God?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
In 2015, let's just say you were 22, you knew what you knew now, and you were graduating Yale. What would you tell yourself? What would you do right now? What would you tell yourself?
But I guess what's the advice that I give to kids of that age?
Or, like, you know, in terms of what they should do career-wise, personally?
The things I would say is, like, you know, keep your nose clean, don't do stupid shit, which that sounds funny. You're like, you know, Mapwood, you're the king of doing stupid shit. But that's always just – I feel like as a grown-up, that's the message that I'm supposed to give to younger kids. So, like, when I had my interns for Genius, for example, I was always the one who was trying to tell them, like, hey, like, don't fuck around, don't do stupid shit. And, you know, maybe I guess I wasn't setting a good example, you could say, or whatever. But
I hear you, man. Well, anything else do you think the people should know about you?
Well, if you buy my book, it's not like I'm trying to make any money off of this book. You know, so far I've made a whopping $5,000. You know, whoop-de-doo. Actually, a little bit more. If I can just sell enough copies of this book, I think it's going to help me to get a deal for Genius Inc. and, like, make the Genius movie and stuff. So it means a lot to me. Like, how many copies this book sells is kind of my new version of my rap IQ. Every copy that sells, you know, I wish I could send the person a personal thank you note.
And how many copies so far?
I've heard about 1,200.
That's a lot of copies.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'd like to get to 10,000. I think if I could get to 10,000 copies for a self-published book, that would be pretty legit.
Mockbud, dad bod.
Yeah, dad bod. Oh, my God. You hit me where it hurts, dude. For real. Oof. Ouch.
You guys are always up on the memes. You've really been.
Yeah, well, this dad bod meme really bothers me because it makes me feel fat. And I hate the fucking double standard. Like, this is, and also this is something that bothers me about Persian culture. Like, you know, Persian culture, you know, more old world cultures, there's this whole tradition of like, oh, it's okay for the man to be a little bit fat. You know, like the woman has to be skinny, but she has to feed her man, so the man has to be fat. And then now it's instead of Western culture spreading its good message, it seems like Eastern culture is coming this way. So like now the dad bod is basically American girls are saying what I've been hearing from Persian girls, you know, with horror my entire life.
It's interesting. Yeah, I don't know if you find this interesting at all, but I've since transitioned from the performance art phase of my life, or like this over self-deprecate, or not over, but a lot of self-deprecation, a lot of like humor above all. Just because one, I don't know if it's effective in making the change I wanted to see, and two, it had, I guess, some personal repercussions, and I think a much more laid-back approach or calculated, because people can't handle kind of complicated images of who a person is, you know. And so they think, you know, if they say one stupid thing or do one thing, you know, like the Elliot Rodgers thing, for example, then, you know, the person, everything the person says is ridiculous.
Well, if Product Hunt needs an official resident crazy guy, you know who to call. I love Product Hunt. I think it's so slick and pretty. It's been cool launching. You know, I helped a lot with the Spylight launch. Seeing Genius Beta launch on there was really exciting. And then, of course, launching my book on there. I think so. I've been telling people I was the first book that launched on Product Hunt. Is that true, or am I making that up?
You're making that up, but you might be the first 10, first 15, maybe the first 50.
I'm going to tell people I was top five dead or alive.
But even though I have transitioned a little bit, I really appreciate you, man. You make me laugh a lot, and I've had a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot from watching this all go down.
Well, thanks, dude. Yeah, it's cool to watch you guys. You know, you're doing the fun part right now. Just wait till it gets to the boring capitalism part. Enjoy this part while you can. Right now, Product Hunt is just the hot shit, and you have all these young people who worship you, and you got to figure out. And you're even kicking it with rappers. You guys got to chill with Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, dude. None of the rappers wanted to talk to me when I had a rap site, but now that we got a tech site, hell no.
Yeah. Well, you know, rappers want to be entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs want to rap. It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, I'm saying this now. Rappers used to want to be NBA players, and ballers used to want to be rappers. Now they all want to be in tech.
Everyone wants to be in tech. Scary.
Yeah. Awesome. When we get to the boring capitalism part, I'll hit you up, man.
No, hit me before. That's when you should lose my number.
Cool, man. Do you think there's such thing as kind of authenticness?
Well, you know, Montaigne, who invented the essay, he said that his talent is art concealing art.
What does that mean?
You know, spending a lot of time, spending a lot of detail to make shit look effortless. Like, you know, all of my tweets, for example, my tweets are all run-on sentences and I don't use punctuation, but you have no idea how much thought I put into every tweet. Like, all right, should this tweet end in an ellipsis with two periods or three or four? You know, like, I'm always thinking about it.
That's funny. All right, man. Take it easy. I'll talk to you soon.